DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Dan Burke, who is the founder of Catholic Spiritual Direction, the most widely read blog on the topic of authentic Catholic spirituality. Dan is also the executive director of and writer for EWTN's National Catholic Register. He's a regular co-host on Register Radio, an author and speaker who regularly travels to share his conversion story along with the great riches the Church provides us through authentic Catholic spirituality. Dan has been featured on EWTN's Journey Home program and numerous radio programs. He's also the author of Navigating the Interior Life, published by Emmaus Road Publishing. And a very special edition of our program originating from the Catholic Marketing Trade Show located in Dallas, Texas. We go Inside the Pages, Navigating the Interior Life with Dan Burke. Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a delight to be with you.
The work you're doing, not only with the National Catholic Register and so many other areas, but in particular with Catholic Spiritual Direction, that response in the digital sea, the new evangelization, is incredible and a gift to us all.
Oh, it's been an amazing adventure. It really has been something that touches my heart weekly, not daily, corresponding with people from over 190 countries around the world who are trying to understand what does it mean to have a personal relationship with Christ? What does it mean to really uncover and engage with the incredible riches of our spiritual patrimony in the Church?
We've had several Holy Fathers, and in particular Blessed John Paul II, but also Pope Benedict XVI, who has implored us to know personally Jesus Christ.
Really, I think both of them, it at least clear to me, I mean, they're in our proximity, if you will, that their relationship with Christ is rich and dynamic, world-changing. I mean, particularly in the case of Pope John Paul the Great, but Benedict as well. I mean, his beautiful works on Jesus of Nazareth, those sort of things don't come out of a dry well.
I love that. They don't come out of a dry well. Many of us, our wells are dry.
Yeah.
And the hearts that are seeking out there, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, the hunger is amazing. It was the impetus for rcspiritualdirection.com was really to put on the internet faithful Catholic spirituality, much in the way that you do in your radio and podcast work. Because I really, at the time when I launched it, I couldn't find much out there. There was a lot of syncretism and, borrowing from other religions. And for me, that's just never been an interest to me. Why would you, if you're invited to the great banquet feast of the King of the Universe, and you have a seat at the table across from the King, and by the way, everybody has a seat at the table across from the King, it's miraculous, it's not possible, but it's totally true. Why would you be milling around under the table for crumbs, you know? So just with that understanding, I wanted to put out more on the internet and to get more people access to it, to people like St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila and St. Ignatius of Loyola, all of these great, wonderful, powerful writers and doctors of the Church and saints and mystics, because they really do have the answer. They really understand what does it mean to have a personal relationship with Christ. But in that process, you know, just engaging with people, the hunger across the world is just astounding. And I shouldn't be surprised by now. The site just grows and grows and grows. Then the number of readers grows and grows. We have over 11,000 subscribers now, about 1 million page views probably this year. Thousands of hours of time of Catholics just sitting and reading or in the comm boxes engaging and asking questions, that sort of thing. But there's just such a deep hunger out there to know the ultimate answers to life. Why do I exist? Why am I suffering? Is there hope? Is there a reason that I exist? You know? And the Church has all those answers. We just have to get it to people who want it.
The most compelling answer I can think of in my heart is that Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Is that at the heart of it all?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, it's really recognizing that before the beginning of time, he knew who we were. It gets me emotional. He knew who we were to be. He even knew that we would participate in his very suffering and humiliation. Even so, he called us into existence, each and every one of us, by name, and he decided that we should be. This is not a collective decision on the part of God. This is individual for every individual person. He created us for one primary purpose, and that is to live in a love relationship with him, to help to find our eternal purpose in him, to find peace in him, to worship him. I mean, it's the most glorious truth of all truths that the world can know, should know. And so, yeah, I think that verse captures it.
He didn't leave us orphan.
No.
He left us so much, didn't he?
He did. He really did. And that's the beauty of the church. I mean, there are good things outside. You know, Scripture says the rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? Our Protestant brothers and sisters and many others who are sincerely seeking God. But really, we have the purity of the faith here in the Catholic Church. And the wells are so deep, they can never be exhausted. I mean, if you just pick one spirituality in the church, Carmelite or Franciscan or Benedictine or any, you can spend your entire life plumbing those depths and learning to know and love Christ in more profound ways. So it's the pure water.
In that walk, it can be a treacherous journey for some. It's encountering those areas that, because of our brokenness, there can be a great deal of pain.
Yeah, I mean, spring is a huge problem. And oftentimes, I've been through a great deal of suffering in my life. I'm sure compared to some, it's minimal. But for a middle class, family like mine, experiencing abuse and experiencing spiritual darkness and in the New Age and occult world, those sorts of things, so many people have wounds from either catastrophic or large events like that in their lives, or even subtle wounds of rejection from people that should love them better than they do, or whatever it is the world brings to assault them, or the flesh or the devil. And people are looking for answers to that suffering, and really for me, even coming to Christ, that was essential. Because for me, if I thought when I was around 18, 19, if the rest of my life's going to be like the first 18 years, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to participate. But coming to that decision by the grace of God to say, there's got to be a reason. I mean, I've seen spiritual darkness. There has to be spiritual light and good. And in Christ, we have all the riches that God has set aside for us, and we can find the answer. And it isn't always easy. I mean, it's a journey of working through all of the darknesses in our heart that we choose, some that are effectively placed there by the enemy or through abuse and suffering or whatever. But Christ offered himself as the great physician and the healer of our souls. And if we turn to him, it doesn't mean tomorrow it's going to be over. It's the beginning of a long journey. You know, I expect to be purified until the day I die, every day, so that when I meet him face to face, I have no need of any further. That's my goal now, you know. But he does offer that to each and every one of us. If we make ourselves available, if we turn to him, we pursue the wonderful teachings of the church, we can find that healing that we so desperately desire.
So many are seeking, so many are looking, and they'll come across the teachings of some of these wonderful saints and those who are trying to bring their teachings forward. But when we travel alone, for example, Dan, there may be people who would think, because I'm in such despair and I feel so dark, that I'm in a dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case.
Right, right. Well, and in my book, Navigating the Interior Life, it's one of the things that I try to unravel, is that how do we understand what is going on in our soul at various stages? So like Ralph Martin's great book, Fulfillment of All Desire, where he reveals an ancient, let's call it a map of the spiritual life, of the purgative, illuminative, and unitive ways, which the saints, all the spiritual doctors of the church, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Francis de Sales, Catherine of Siena, they all write of these stages that we go through. Well, so it's one thing is to gain an understanding of what those are. So what's normal when I first begin to pray? What's normal after I get rid of mortal and venial sin as habitually present in my life? But your prayer life changes when that happens. Major changes occur in different phases. So how do you discern that? Well, one, you can do your spiritual reading and dig into modern writers like Ralph, but also the saints that Ralph lifts up so well in each of those three ways. But also we need other people. God works through people. I mean, if anyone listening, you or I, if we have made any progress in the spiritual life, if you just ask this very simple question, what are the names of the people that helped you? And there aren't any of us that are going to come up empty. There's going to be a list. Why? Because we need other people. It's inherent in our design. St. Catherine of Siena said, the Father said through her, that I have designed you in such a way as that it is absolutely necessary for you to be dependent on others in order to reach the spiritual heights that I, you know, the heights that I have prepared for you. So this is a very loose translation of St. Catherine's revelation of God the Father speaking to her. But it is inherent in our design. And then also we have the sin problem that blocks our hearing, blocks our vision. It causes cataracts. It causes hearing loss. So we don't hear the Lord as well as we should. We don't see him as well as we should. So we need others to help us to recognize our blind spots and to get past the problems we can't seem to get past. I mean, we really are made to be dependent on one another.
When you're out living in the world, proclaiming the good news, whatever it is the Lord has in front of you, it's always good to have that companion so that you can identify not only the good, but also help in those areas when, well, we proclaim in the visible and the invisible, and that there will be spiritual warfare.
Yeah, and I have this rule of three I've written about only once on the blog. But basically, it's this idea that if you've tried to overcome darkness in any manifestation, the world, the flesh, the devil, habitual, repeated sins, spiritual darkness that you can't define, if you've tried to overcome that three times with concerted effort on your own and you can't do it, I'm telling you, you gotta work with somebody. You have to get a devout spiritual friend, you have to get a spiritual director, you got to go see a priest, whatever it is, but you need to sit down and really let God work through somebody outside of you, because really that's a sign that he's calling you to really get outside of yourself and try to lean on what he designed as the normative way for you to grow spiritually. So those are just some of the indicators that you need to look outside.
I could talk with you all day, Dan. That's what's so wonderful about the relationship that can happen on a site like yours, Catholic Spiritual Direction. How do you find the time with everything else that you're doing?
Gosh, I mean, working with EWTN is a dream come true. National Catholic Register is just every day I go home with great satisfaction. I really don't know how we get it done. I think it's miraculous, to be honest with you. I don't mean to make it sound more than it is, but the volunteers that we have, the great writers that contribute their time, people just come out of the woodwork whenever we need it, and they meet a need that we had, whether it be technology or a writer with another perspective or people. We have Combox counselors, we call them. God just brings those. And really, too, St. Teresa of Avila talks about there's this point at which in your spiritual life, apostolic fruitfulness really becomes much more prominent. And I think that that is a reality. There's a reality of having your life fairly well ordered in the sense that you're living in a life of integrity, meaning that all of your time is spent and understood and managed in light of eternity. And so my wife and I, we don't have TV, as an example, in our home. Kids don't miss it. Believe it or not, I know many of you won't believe it, but it's true. Kids don't miss it. We spend a lot of time talking together and eating meals together and, doing those things. But I think when you order your life to the Lord, and there's relative peace. I mean, people in third world countries who are struggling with just getting a meal, I mean, it's different. But in America, we have this great privilege, at least for a time, where we can work and we can leave our work and we can give our lives away even more. And that's kind of what's happening at RC Spiritual Direction. And I hope the miracles continue.
A wonderful element in all of this, that in developing this relationship, and you see the richness that begins in that basic unit, the family, you know, that basic cell of society, living it out also in the world through our relationship in parish, community, and everywhere else. There's a real gift in Catholic social teaching, that doctrine, that really, I mean, back to Pope Leo XIII, but then all the way up through the pontificate of Blessed John Paul the Great, I have to say it that way, that he saw a real synthesis in the Church's teaching, because it's all based on the human dignity of each person, but also the importance of Christ Jesus, that relationship.
Well, and I that's what I mean when I talk about integrity. When integrity really is, I don't care for the word balance, because I think that balance sounds like you're not too hot, you're not too cold, you might be just sort of lukewarm all the way across the board. I don't care for that. The saints are not balanced. They're radically imbalanced. They're I see St. Teresa of Avila as just a flurry of activity towards Christ, you know, but also very prayerful. And she even gives analogies about that. But really, living a life of integrity is where you are ordering your soul, all the gifts and talents that you have, to a right relationship with God in prayer, a right relationship with others, whether that be through, you know, feeding someone or housing someone or educating someone on the spiritual life, the spiritual works of mercy or the corporal works of mercy. Really, they all have to come together. And really, some of the spiritual ills of the church of today are that in the social justice realm, many have left Christ behind, right? So what's the ultimate? I think it's Mother Teresa of Calcutta. It's the ultimate. It's this profound, life-changing relationship with Christ that is then lived out in the most in life-changing ways in the temporal sense of helping, you know, the lowest of the low in society. But you really have to have both. If you think you're living for Christ and you don't know Him in prayer, I gotta believe your apostolic fruitfulness is going to be much less. But I would suspect that there's a serious spiritual problem there that's going to always hinder that apostolic work. And we see that in the news. I won't get to the news side of my world, but that's a lot of that's going on. The church is trying to correct it now.
But isn't that the key for discernment? You know, I go back to that image in the gospel of Mary of Bethany, who was anointing the feet of our Lord. And Judas is saying, you could be doing, you know, we could be helping the poor. Or even that's the same Mary of Bethany who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened while her sister did important good work, but not necessarily God's work.
Yeah, well, I mean, Judas, it's clear. We have this great window. We can diagnose Judas all day long. He had a clearly disordered soul. I mean, he was looking for political power. I mean, he didn't really care about the poor. He was just trying to appeal to Jesus, who obviously did, and saying, hey, we shouldn't spend this money. And then, yeah, I mean, it's a great picture. Christ, the perfume is poured upon him, and it's worth, you know, a year's wages, if I remember the text right. And he gets the complaint, and he says, look, you know, this is always going to be a problem. She's right. She's taking care of the number one thing. Now you take that into the next scene, which you're very familiar with, I'm sure, which is Mary and Martha, right? So Martha's a saint, so we don't want to pick on her too much. But Christ clearly said one is better, right? He said first, number one. It isn't equal. Number one in the hierarchy of the order of the human soul is our orientation to Him, our love of Him, our worship of Him, our knowledge of Him, so that then when we go to live the active life, like Martha, all of us, I mean, like you and I are called into, we're in the secular world. I have to live the active life every day. But that has to be animated by the Holy Spirit, has to be animated by a deep relationship with Christ in order for our work to even be effective. I don't know why or how people can live without that, but I certainly would have no capability of doing so.
Dan Burke, I cannot wait for Navigating the Interior Life. I mean, when is that wonderful book due out?
Well, it's coming out this October, and Emmaus Road Publishing has published it, and you can find out more at navigatingtheinteriorlife.com, just spelled out. And then you can find rcspiritualdirection.com. That's RC stands for Roman Catholic spiritualdirection.com. That's where we regularly provide questions and answers and insights on spiritual books. We have a spiritual book club that has about 500 members from all over the world. And we provide posts and from all different facets of the wonderful diamond that is the spirituality of the Catholic Church. So the book will be out soon. You can order an advance signed copy if you go to Navigating the Interior Life. And basically, I'm going to get the first shipment, and I'm going to sign all those as fast as I can. The problem is there's more than 400 now, so I have no clue how I'm going to pull all that off. But you can, through a donation to the Catholic Spiritual Direction, you can do that. And also, I might say, please support EWTN and the National Catholic Register. It's another facet of the diamond, which is telling the truth about the world where faith and events of our society and life intersect. Is a catechetical moment, Michael Warsaw, the CEO of EWTN, said, and well said, and that's what I do as my day job. So we'd be grateful for support on all those.
The National Catholic Register, what a legacy, and I would imagine enthusiastic about the Year of Faith.
Oh, we are. In fact, we love these. Where a lot of people are, it just kind of goes over their heads, but we love this stuff. I mean, we've talked about it for months, and how are we going to cover it, and how are we going to support the church, just like we did with the new Missal translation, and whatever it is that Christ and Holy Spirit is working in the church, we want to be there to help, to shed light on it, and to tell the truth about it, because not many are telling the truth about it.
Dan, don't you see this as quite a moment in the life of the church? When you really look at what the gift of faith is, as the Catechism explains, that it's God reveals himself to us in all these various manners, but then we're called to make that fullness of the gift, to make it reciprocal, we reveal ourselves. And so actually, it's more than just what we could maybe say is a year of faith, but it's more of a year of a relationship, isn't it?
Well, and I think that that's intentional. I think that Benedict is concerned that a proper interpretation of the Second Vatican Council continue to rise, and it is rising. I mean, the reform of the reform, so to speak, with respect to the new Missal translation in particular, is a great sign that we're headed back in the right direction. But really to get the fruit of the council, which in its essence, it's always Christ. It's always our relationship with the Lord, to really play out more fully in the church. We're very excited to be a part of lifting up the anniversary of the catechism and the anniversary of the council, which happens this October. It's a wonderful time in the church.
Well, and to be able to have Catholic Spiritual Direction, really. I mean, to have that out there to help navigate in this year of relationship, in this year of faith.
Yes. Well, and I didn't plan, you know, obviously I didn't know the Year of Faith was coming when I started writing my book a number of years ago, and I'm just grateful to the Lord that he's allowing it to be hopefully a small part in what's going on in the Year of Faith.
Any final thoughts?
Well, love Jesus. You know, I was at a mass recently with Archbishop Chaput, where he was giving praise to all of the nuns and sisters that had served the church for so many decades, and there were all the different representations in the Archdiocese of Denver there, and the defining moment of the mass of the evening was when the last sister got up, and she was a Franciscan sister, a nun that had been such for over 80 years. And she said, everything is Jesus. She said, follow him, know him, love him. And the cathedral erupted, just absolutely erupted. So that would be, that's as final can be.
Amen. Hallelujah. Dan Burke, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
From the Catholic Marketing Trade Show, located in Dallas, Texas, we've gone Inside the Pages with Dan Burke. To learn more about his website, Catholic Spiritual Direction, and to learn more about his book, Navigating the Interior Life, go to rcspiritualdirection.com. To hear and or to download this discussion, along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.